This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's the Wednesday Talk Show. I'm your host, Tobin Ott. This week, we are pleased to feature a return guest. It's been a while since, from what I've been told, that we've had representatives from the Bremer Sanctuary in Hillsboro on the program. They are here. We've got Carl Savage and Jerry Prater here. Gentlemen, welcome back.
Thank you, Jerry.
And thanks for having us.
Carl, you and I go way back. We're known as the A team at the Moose Lodge for our frying fish and chicken ability. So that's always a good time.
Yeah, that's a fun time. Sure is, Toby.
It always is. Gives us free cologne. Ends up smelling like fried. Oh, we are here to talk about the Bremer Sanctuary. Jerry, let's for the both of you anyway. For those that don't know about the Bremer Sanctuary, I know a lot of people take the North Road and drive past the signs and see the signs. Yep. They know it's out there. Tell us a little bit about the history of Bremer Sanctuary.
Well, I understand that the Bremer clan immigrated from Germany sometime around 1850 and purchased a small farm, about 50 acres in the area, and established an agricultural business there. They've expanded that over several generations down to, I think it was Jess Bremer was the last male owner of the property. And when he passed, passed down to Helen and Betty Bremer, who were the two sisters. And they were really interested in conservation in the area. And at the end of their days, they wanted to pass that property along to a conservation group. And it's kind of an interesting story that I understand that Helen, who was the surviving sister, actually contacted an Audubon group in the state of Michigan and offered the property.
That's a bit of a drive.
It was. And they, of course, weren't interested and couldn't accept it. So they had referred her to Illinois Audubon, and that's how it became part of that that organization. Bremer Sanctuary is a 203-acre prairie and forest property.
That big?
It's that big.
Wow.
Yeah. It extends beyond Crest Creek a ways and up to the railroad tracks, which are currently a trail that's handled by a different group from us.
That's the bike trail, isn't it?
It's a rail-to-trail
right.
Organization that the NAGS group takes care of. It's called the Arches Trail.
Okay. Yeah. I gotcha.
Goes all the way to Butler.
Right.
It's about four miles.
Right.
Yeah. So we are currently the Hickory Hills chapter of Illinois Audubon, although most people just know us as Bremer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all handled by a volunteer group of about a dozen guys and girls, guys and ladies, excuse me. And we meet every Tuesday and Thursday morning and work and share wisdom, of course. The wintertime is our wisdom time, our planning sessions, we call them, because we don't get out much.
Carl, how did you become involved with this?
Probably in 94. The guy that got me involved with it was Jim Sturgeon. And I've probably been out there longer than anybody, I'm sure, maybe. And anyhow, Jim asked me to come out there and visit, and at that time there was two members. And the old barn that we were doing had no doors in it, and the day that I started, we were putting up a new door. And so anyhow, Jim, he asked me if I'd like to join up out there, and I said, sure, but I was working at Freeman then and shift work, and I was limited when I could go to be out there, but I enjoyed it and got involved in it. And as time went on, we started getting more and more and more members, and I don't know how many members we have now, but we... You got a report on it here a while back, didn't you?
Yeah, there's about 60 members who are members of Illinois Audubon and Bremer Sanctuary.
Okay.
And then we have a gazillion people that we call friends.
Yes.
That are some are local and some are not so local.
Well, I was wondering about that because you mentioned 12, and I'm like thinking, okay, those members, if they're, and I don't mean any older, you know, it's like any civic organization or any organization, you've got to start getting the younger group involved, so that way there's a handoff point, so that way the tradition and the sanctuary or whatever continues. Are you getting the younger people involved? Or
We do have, but the thing of it is, we meet up a morning and our work is the daytime, and a lot of them has their jobs to do, and things like that. But they do, like, we have something going on the weekends. We have a big showing. We had that walk here at New Year's Day walk. It was kind of funny. I read in the Springfield paper how many they had up there and bragging about. We had way more at Hillsboro out there walking. We had over 50 people walking out there on New Year's Day, and it's getting quite a tradition. We're going to have to figure out how to heat the big barn, because we used to start out just in a little area we got heated, you know. Yeah. And
a little space heater that'll do it for you.
Oh, yeah.
Or one of those torches that just, this is a single.
We're thinking about that,
single flame or something that. I've been out there a couple times. My next-door neighbor took me out there, and I knew it existed, but I never had a chance to go out there. And one thing I will say about that area, it's peaceful.
Oh, yes.
If you were a writer wanting to clear your mind to write thoughts about a book or something like that, take a trip out there, because, I mean, it is peaceful.
During the spring and summer, we get a lot of people who come and just do photographs of the flowers out there, because the prairie out there during the summer is just a maze of wildlife and flowers.
And I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. You got a butterfly house out there? Is that right or no?
We got a butterfly garden.
Okay.
Yes, we do have.
Okay.
Now let me tell you about the butterfly garden. Yeah,
go ahead, Carl.
Okay. We have.
See, now you know what I deal with on Friday when the A-team fries.
Yeah, we do have a his and hers bathroom out there. And our art class from Hillsboro came out there, and they painted every butterfly there is in the area on the side of that. We have the most beautiful outhouse in the United States. But they did do that, and if you see a butterfly that you would like to know what it is, go out there and look out there at the outhouse, and the butterfly is pictured of him out there with the name of it underneath of it.
See, this is one of the few times I wish Uncle Ralph was still around, because he would be eating this up right now.
Yeah, Uncle Ralph, he attended everything went on out there. Yes,
we call it our butterfly house, but it's really an outhouse.
Yeah.
It's
really an
And then we got a butterfly garden.
That's a big distinction there.
Then we do have a garden planted that draws butterflies in out there around that outhouse. So it's
Talk about funding, because Carl, I know you're out there all the time during the summer mowing and making sure that the sanctuary is clean and presentable. Funding, how does that work with you guys?
Well, as a matter of fact, I just submitted the new budget for the year with Illinois Audubon, and they are a parent organization.
Mm-hmm.
We do get income from our CRP grant, and that's really the only income other than donations that exist. We submit a budget every year to Illinois Audubon, and then they sponsor us with projects and equipment and anything else really we need. They've been very generous with us.
And how do they get their budget? Is that through the state? I mean, is that through the normal state budget?
Most of that is donations and grants and such.
Just want to make that clear, because any time with state funding, because you never know. I mean, we've got a new legislature, new governor. You never know what's going to happen.
Sure, state funding is always a problem. Yeah.
You mentioned grants. Tell us a little bit about grants and that. I mean, how often do you guys utilize grants to?
We've only done grants a couple of times, but the parent organization, they work a lot with clean energy and get sizable grants through them, and also they work closely with DNR. They're a land grant or land acquisition organization, as well as a conservation organization. And one of the things they do is they look for threatened land that needs to be preserved. For instance, there was a bat cave down in southern Illinois that they preserved.
Dang it! They found my hiding spot.
Oftentimes, what they do is they'll preserve the land, and then they'll find a buyer for it.
Okay.
And so that they're not a large land owning organization, but they preserve land.
Tell us a little bit. I think we've kind of touched on this a little bit, but let's go into this a little bit more detail. The programs you guys offer.
We got two programs going right now. One of them is a pollination program. It's a 64-acre program that we have going out there. It is, we have planted. We started it last summer. Mm-hmm. We had to do a lot of mowing. We had to do a lot of chemicals, put spraying chemicals to get rid of some of the stuff we didn't want. Mm-hmm. And then we had M&M come in and put down 44 different kinds of flowers out there. Wildflowers over the 64 acres. It was spread by this machine that did everything, so many plants per acre, and it was computerized. So anyhow, we got that going, and we have been doing some burning out there. We did that Monday.
Yeah, Monday was
a
burn.
We burned 30-some acres out there. We had a nice burn. We had 16 members out there help us with the burn.
And what does the burn, for those that don't, no, that just helps preserve growth in that, or what does that do?
Fire has always been an integral part of prairie life from way back when. But one of the things that we do with burns is we use a burn to knock down some of the competitive weeds, and it allows the wildflowers and the good grasses to get a head start. On their growth.
Because I know Henry Eilers.
Oh yeah, Henry's out. Yeah,
is known for burning certain areas and
Ken
that.
Ken Shaw is our leader now, but Henry's out there too. But Ken Shaw does, yes. And then another thing we got going is the honeysuckle program out there. People that's familiar with the farms and the timbers and things, this honeysuckle has taken over the countryside, and the Audubon Society is working with us, and we had some bulldozer work done out there to remove some of the honeysuckle off of a hillside, and you're leaving Hillsboro, going north on the North Road. If you look up in there, you're going to see some big bare spots up in there. That's because this honeysuckle has been removed, and that has been planted in prairie grasses and wildflowers, and that's going to be a show from the North Road, just looking up there and seeing that there. So, and you can even see some of it from the highway going to Litchfield.
You mentioned the flowers in that, and I'm thinking, and I'm outside the box thinking, because I know you guys don't like a lot of people out there. You kind of like it peaceful and quiet, but with the flowers in that, sometime like a flower festival out there just to get people out there just to see the sanctuary and say they've been out there.
Yeah,
that would be I would say a tremendous way for like a fundraiser or something for you guys to add maybe a little more extra money to the coffers.
Well, we sponsor a variety of flower walks during the year. In fact, there's two or three that are in the spring and summer. We have a prairie flower walk. We also have a woodland flower walk, which is a spring walk. And we actually encourage a lot of people to come out.
Yeah, anytime. We want people to come out there. Yeah. And we do have busloads of.
We have trails that they can, they're self-guided trails. We have a map that's available right at the barn. They can take a copy of the map and then take any of the trails that they want.
Okay.
The Bluebird Trail is about a 2-mile walk around the kind of around the perimeter, and that follows the prairie.
Is it a hilly walk or is it like pretty much flat?
Pretty well level.
Yeah, it's pretty level. It's a comfortable walk.
Okay. It's a comfortable walk. Yeah. It's a pretty walk. It'd be very pretty.
Oh, it's very peaceful.
Whenever we get this here pollinating program going, and it's going to be, if everything goes right, and we went to Hoyle with everything, and it was going to be one of the better places in Montgomery County and one of the nicest places in the state of Illinois, as far as that goes, is what we're going to have out there. So,
well, I know a lot of people go out there just for peace of mind and that, and you know, I didn't realize the impact of it, like I said, until my neighbor took me out there because I'll just say it this way. She had some trees planted out there in memory of her daughter that passed away. And it's tremendous out there. It is totally beautiful out there. It's a peace of mind type place. And you can't beat it. And kudos to you guys, because I know, Carl, you and I were with the Moose Lodge and that, but it takes a lot of work to get things done.
It does take a lot of work. And,
yeah, there's a lot of work out there.
You talked earlier about the volunteer group.
Mm-hmm.
Our group, ranges anywhere from 80 plus down to about 55. And that's wow. kind of the age group. Most of us are in our 70s
right.
that work out there. And we're always looking for younger folks.
We'll talk to you about that when I get done, Tobin.
Talk to my wife first. my wife says I'm involved with too many things right now. But again, you mentioned the younger group, and like Carl, like to add on to what, you know, a guy like myself or whoever, we've got jobs. Our availability during the day is not, you know, available. But like the weekends and that, if we're available, absolutely, you know. But tremendous job out there. Outstanding. You're working on a program coming up in May, Carl? You want to tell us a little bit?
A
speaker
Bob
coming up in May?
He's the one who got this really started.
So. Oh, okay.
We invited Bob Gillespie from the – at that time, he was with the Illinois Natural History Survey.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has now moved over to DNR. Bob was the point man for the transfer of prairie chickens from Kansas to Illinois last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in charge of going out to Kansas with a small group of volunteers and actually trapping and transporting the birds. The prairie chicken is a threatened bird here in Illinois, and it's really only found in any numbers in Jasper and Marion counties. And along with Illinois Audubon and DNR, the program was designed to bring a total of 300 birds from Kansas back to Illinois, and that was 100 birds a year for 3 years. Bob brought 91 birds last year, and he will be going back out in March to start the second year of gathering. He came to Bremer back in November at our annual meeting and did a really great video presentation on the process of trapping the birds and bringing them back and getting them settled into the Prairie Ridge area in Jasper County. We've asked him to come back in May. We don't have a date yet, but we'll certainly invite people to listen to WSMI and the local newspapers for the date. But it's a tremendous program, and he's been traveling all over the state of Illinois with this program.
Well, I think you just booked yourself a gig sometime in April to be on this program again.
Yeah, he got into a little bit of problem with the state over he used the state of Illinois airplanes, and that made the headlines of how many thousands of dollars a lot of people thought was wasted in, and our Audubon Society was involved in that quite a bit, and
well, so the state's broke. You got to watch out for what's being used for what.
We need to get him here to explain that. He wants to get on the air, and he said he's been in a newspaper, but he's not been on the air, and he'd like to do that. And I said, well, I told him we could probably work him in sometime in May to do that, you know. And
like I said, I think we just booked you for April sometime.
But it's going to be, program. I think he said, did he say May?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to try to
but
get
you
back
you want to advance, you want, you know.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah. Carl, Jerry, it's always a pleasure having you here, talking with us about Bremer Sanctuary. Like we mentioned, Uncle Ralph, I know that was a big part of his life. He always loved going out there, and it's great to have you guys back. And we'll definitely have you back on as we get closer to May to talk about your speaking event.
That'd be great.
And anyone seeking more information about the sanctuary, or even if they want to come out and help with whatever. What's a number, or how do they go about that?
Carl, do you know the phone number?
I don't know the phone number out there, but everybody knows me. They get hold of me. And,
it's in the book under Illinois Audubon.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
The local phone book.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. And so stay tuned. A lot of good things heading out to Bremer. And, you've had a pretty easy winter so far. Knock on wood.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I do appreciate your time. Thank you so much for coming in, and I look forward to our chats in the future.
Thanks, Tobin.
Okay. Thank you again.
Thank you, Tobin.
That's going to do it for the Wednesday Talk Show on this 21st Wednesday of January. Our guests once again were Carl Savage and Jerry Prater. Coming up next week on the program, Mickey Robinson from the Coal Country Chamber of Commerce will be here Don't know what he has in store for me, but it's always interesting when Mickey's on the program. So he will be back next week. Until then, so long.